Roman numeral 1b says he is a Christ, the Son of God. Sometimes this concept is really not that simple and not that easy to digest. We understand that Jesus is our Savior. Says a Son of God, how we can understand. Many of the denominations, because of this, these words, a Son of God, it becomes come out as understanding as a Trinity. But in the Bible, never mention about the three God, but there's only one. The concept of Son and Father, it's not we can understand as a worldly sense, because if you have a son, then there's a father, then need mother. How come son? It's not. So you cannot. We cannot conceive this understanding of a son and God. I mean, son and the father as a worldly sense. So we can understand when God sent his only son, begotten son, to this world. So it seems like, it sounds like the two different entity completely. But actually now God himself came to this world. When God, he sent his only son to come this world, he himself to be the Son of God. Son of God as a function is Jesus, his function here, his mission is to preach the gospel and train his disciple, and he died on the cross for the remission of our sins, and that is his mission. That's, I think, ancient time. It's hard to digest. So how is a God can come to this world, manifest himself, a physical manifestation of God himself in this world? How he can die on the cross? God cannot die. It just, you know, logically, if God, he say, I am the one, you saw me, then you have seen already God. The God himself die on the cross, it doesn't make sense. So the one that died on the cross is the Son of God. The Son of God died on the cross. He himself conceived by the Holy Spirit, as you know. Conceived by the Holy Spirit is he's not came from the like us as a way, as a the physical way to be conceived and to be delivered to come to this world. The Holy Spirit, conceived by the Holy Spirit from beginning, his birth and his life is totally different than our human life actually. So God himself way to come to this world. Of course, the Luke chapter 2, let's look at the Luke chapter 2 verse 4. Luke chapter 2 from verse 4 to verse 7. Luke chapter 2 from verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him, and was with a child. And it came about that while they were there, the day were completed for her to give a birth. So in this way, Jesus was born. When Joseph and Mary, they visit because of Bethlehem, because of they have a census. And at that time, and here the verse mentioned that Joseph is one of the house, according to verse 4 says, he was of the house of family of David. This has come true according to the prophecies in the book of Isaiah. So when he is a descendant, as a physically descendant of David, but really what he calls is actually he's not, he has no relationship with the Josephs. Make sense? Joseph has no relationships because before they already have a husband and wife, he was conceived by the Mary. So actually there's no relationship. But legally binding in this way to come to this world as a descendant of the David. Yeah. So here the Roman numeral 1, see, he is a man descendant of David. This is fulfilled the prophecy in the book of Isaiah. But this way Jesus came to this world is not a human's way, but the way of the Holy Spirit. It's a very unique way to come to this world. We know that Christ is the Savior, save us from sin. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 says, I think during the time of the born of time that Jesus was born, the whole nation, I think, quite suffered under the Roman Emperor. A lot of taxations, and also high-class people, they're very enjoying the luxurious life. So there are two kinds of groups of people to separate it, which is a very low-class people, very high-class people. This is a time that close to the fall of the Roman Emperor, actually, at this time. And I think this time the Caesar's Augustus, as out appearance, the Roman Emperor is considered very prosperous at this time. But outside of the social and economic situation, actually started getting worse at this time. So people's life is quite tough at that time. At that time, Jesus came. So when Jesus came to this world, people have a desire to seeking somebody to help them, to save them out of such kind of situations. And they know they are very helpless because they have no political power. They have no military power. So somebody kind of superpower to come to this land to save these people, lead these people, and cast all the Romans, the military power and political power away from this land and create the kingdom of David, continuation of kingdom of David in the countries. That's how they're in their minds. And so that's a physical side, but spiritual side, we have once the physical side the problem, then also there's a spiritual demanding also, one side. Sometimes we think life is everything is comfortable, then we're easier to believe in God. But many times it's the other way. When we have difficulties, when we have a trouble, actually, we easily believe in Jesus Christ, actually. Sin is the one we have to think very seriously, actually. Now, 21st century, the Satan blurry, you know, which is a very, let us hard to define the sin, actually, out there. Is that a sin? No, this much is okay, and this much is okay. Which is we can make a boundary ourselves. We think this is inside of is not sin and outside of sin, something like this way. The defining sin is a kind of now is a problems. And also at this time, during the time of when Jesus was born, religious leaders and also they all most of them corrupted, so they cannot function in a society. They cannot help the people to awakening their soul and to bring their sin, bring out of them, to ask them to repent and to bring them out of and to draw near to God. They do not. They actually lost this function as a religious their religious leaders. So that's why the Jesus came to this world as he is a Christ as a Savior. This is considered as a great news for the Israel at that time. B2 is that he is the Son of God, the physical manifestation of God. He is a God himself, but at the same time, he is limited by space and time and space. Because he needs a physical form like us. So he used Mary's womb and to come out to this world as like a put as a form, like a physical form, like we have. And the relationship with the God and him is, he is a God himself, but still he has a physical form of himself as to accomplish the salvation of God. And he's still smaller than, we can say smaller than God at this moment. It's less than, according to the Bible, book of Hebrew mentioned, less than the angels. Mentioned that. We also the less than, less, we are actually more higher than angels. You agree? We receive the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit. And we can call Jesus, we can call God as our Father. But angel cannot call God as our Father. The angel can call God as my Lord, my Master. The difference. The angel is an administration, ministering. It's like a helping spirit. Yeah, it's not like us. So there is no such way like angel. They are corrupted, have a chance to recover, restore the relationship with the God. Only man has this privilege. Had he sent us Jesus in this world, make this the relationship back, restore with the God. That we only have this kind of second chance. Receive the second chance. Make it possible. I have a reason to talk this. I forgot that. Anyway, because the relationship I talked to the angel and compared to angel and we are, once we baptize in the name of Jesus Christ, then the status changed to the become a son of God. Our status has changed. So we are sonship which is restored. And once we restore our relationship with God, then our status is much higher than angels. But while we live in this world, we are less than the angels. Do you agree though? Actually, our status is higher than angel. But angel can go any place. Because the angel is in the spiritual dimensions. But we still have a physical bodies. We have to wait until the last day. Last day until we resurrect from the death. Once we on the last day we resurrect from the death, then our form changed to glorious form. And our form to be incorruptible form to change it. The form that on the last day we change from the death, the resurrect from the death, this form and this status is higher than angels. We carried our status higher than angel, but still we have a physical bodies. That's what we're waiting for the day, the last day, we resurrect from the death, and then we can change the form. So in that sense, we can understand at that time the Jesus Christ at that time. Jesus himself higher than angels, actually. I said, Jesus himself, God himself, but he has a physical form like us. The purpose of he having this physical bodies, because the one who was a sinless one, die on the cross for our sins. In this way, he came to this world like a human form as us. But inner, his essence is God himself. God himself. But once he died on the cross, it's not his spirit died. It's not his soul died. His physical body died. So which is come out of his physical tent. He came out of the physical tent. Now he moved on to the spiritual dimensions. After 3 days, he resurrected from the death. To carry this body, it's not just a worldly body form like we have. He can go everywhere. You know that, right? After he resurrected, he can go everywhere. There's no any obstacles passing around any place. He can go any place, any time, any moment. Totally change his form. So that is the showing us we can change the same way like Jesus was resurrected from the death. So if once this, I don't know, it helps you to understand the whole total concept, but Son of God, God himself, but when he was here, he is limited by time and space until he died on the cross. Because that is his purpose for us. It just has to be like us to be dying on the cross. Yes. Before that? Before he died. What was the question? Before he died, he cannot. Because he's just like us. He's tired. He also very, once he cannot drink and eat, he's tired. He's thirsty. He's hungry. And also he was tempted by Satan. But after he resurrected from the dead, no more temptations. Because he changed, he back to God himself. So there's no such thing that he can dealing with the temptations. But when he has a physical form, he has a temptations. So if he can just automatically overcome all the temptation, word temptation cannot make sense. He really tempted. He really tempted. And during the time he's in this world, when he has a physical form, he really tempted. That's why word temptation is makes sense. You know, one time though, when we read Matthew chapter 16, when who do you say I am? And Peter mentioned that you are the Christ, the Son of Living God. And then after he mentioned about that he has to die, and after 3 days he resurrect from the death. And then Peter mentioned that you better not to do it. And right away Jesus mentioned that Satan, and you know what he mentioned that. English, I can see. According to the 16:20-3, it says, Lord, this shall never happen to you. And then 23, and Jesus said, he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are the stumbling blocks. Right away, he mentioned that. So Satan using the very comfortable and very subtle word to try to tempt Jesus. At that, it is a temptation. Make it this way to encourage Jesus not to be crucified on the cross. Jesus has a desire. He doesn't want to have his such kind of sufferings. When he died on the cross, he have two suffering. One is a physical suffering and spiritual sufferings. Two suffering he suffered on the cross. He doesn't want, actually, physical body doesn't want to take this suffering. But his spiritual, his inner, his God himself knows that he has to do this way to accomplish the God's will, open the way of salvation. So he knows that. But here the Satan said, you don't have to do it. He knows that this sounds, what Peter mentioned that, Lord, this shall never happen to you. It sounds smooth, sounds make sense to, it seems like a, care about Jesus, but actually not. It's a temptation of Satan. Anyway, when Jesus, he came to this world as a Son of God is we can understand in this word, and it's I try to do my best to explain to you. That's all I can do. So I just explain this concept here a little bit. He is the man, a descendant of David. Because of God promised David. God made a covenant between David, and your kingdom will be forever. So in this way, his kingdom continue make continuations. Well, of course, this kingdom is not kingdom belong to this world, but in this way, and what we call it, as a spiritual kingdom to make it forever in this way. So. And here the sea mentioned that he has his own genealogy. Yes, he has own genealogy. So. Yeah, but this genealogy, it's only just showing the physical lineup, but actually, physically, not related actually. So I just give you the kind of, because he conceived by the Holy Spirit, it's totally, if we conceive by human ways, this the kingdom of David cannot be built continue to forever, because this kingdom from then on, this is a kingdom, spiritual kingdoms, beginning of the spiritual kingdoms. And here the C number 2 said that he was tempted by Satan just as we are. It is. You can understand Jesus not just automatically passing everything. No, he tempted. Anything that belongs to physical dimension can be tempted by the Satan. So. And even the spiritual dimension also. Satan also, they deceived by the Satan too. Angel was deceived by the Satan. Falling angel. And also that way. Let's look at the Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15. For we do not have a high priest. Chapter 4 verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Here the writers of the book of Hebrew mentioned that, clearly mentioned that one who has been tempted in all things as we are. So that he tempted the same way we tempted. As we tempted, he tempted. Yet, without, because he has no sins. He clearly mentioned that. So, he came to this world physically as a descendant of David, but actually, even physically, actually not much relationship. This is physically have this relationship, build up his own kingdoms in here. See the last two, number two, the last, he is a perfect man for us to imitate from. So he was a son of God and show us as example, let us follow like a way of his life as an example. Example is important, and example is the figure to, the leading figure to let our life to be follow, be like the same. So Jesus is the one. So we can say imitate and assimilate it. Imitate is, I don't know, words, imitations. Once you imitate it, then inner yourself is not the same, then this imitation doesn't that much a big deal. So inner yourself have to completely changed. That is a true, instead of the word imitation, we can say assimilations. One time I visited in Korea, 1992 at that time. When I passing by the people, and there's a lot of people in the car, sometimes I hit, and sometimes, you know, shoulder hit, then I say, you know, just excuse me, you know, just excuse me, but it's a Korean, so I don't have to say it. When you drop something, oops, it's not because I want to pretend myself, but because it already get used to myself without thinking. Already it's in my reactions, it come out like that. something happened, you can say, oh my, Jesus, you know, just like, things happen, your expression, you can tell. At the that's the kind of simulations from cultures, in these cultures. Once the Koreans, once you have a chance to visit Korea, you hit somebody, they never say sorry. Just look at it and just go, that's all. That's their cultures. But here cultures are different. We something hit and touch them, we say sorry right away. So I'm talking about the imitations. Be like a Christ is something that our response, something that our life pattern of our life and the daily livings, it just become like a Christ, you can say. He mentioned it. He's a perfect man for us to imitate from. We hope that we look at each other and be like each other. It's important. And once you get married, you know, become husband and wife, look at each other and we read the other side minds. What this one thinking about? Something a little bit uncomfortable. Maybe my meal was not tasty enough to this man to be happy or something. And then when the wife trying to do the dishwasher but turn around to say to husband it's not comfortable way, that means because I do not help her. Something you can detect. You look at each other to find out what's going, you know, what's the other side minds. Once you constantly, you can try a way to training each other, and then at a certain point, you can read each other. You can see, oh, you know, what this one thinking about it. You know, that helps. So I think imitation means look at each other. Look at each other. And also trying to way to find out the thing, the point at the common ground so they can think the same thing, think about same things. And also the action and heart is all to be like the same way. That's what we can say, imitations. You cannot imitate of Jesus Christ by one day. But we have to build up every day, little by little. Jesus said, well, everything's before any important things, he just walked away from his disciple. He prayed to God. And then we can think about what he prayed in alone himself to pray. And he dealing with the Pharisees and Sadducees, why he dealing with this way? And why Jesus mentioned in this manner? When he dealing with his disciple, why Jesus training his disciple in that manner? Why he say that? I think imitation is not just we can recite what Jesus said, but what he thought, why his action turned out to be like this. Then what if we are the same situation come up, maybe we supposed to be same way to react like Jesus Christ. Same way to say like Jesus Christ. So we have to think when we read the book of Matthew, Mark and Luke and John, we have to come into our mind, our emotion, into the passage. So we can react with the words. Then we can imitate ourselves. And number two here, Roman numeral two, that Jesus said, I am. I'm sure because this is famous, I'm sure because everybody know. The bread of life, A. B is I am the light of the world. And the sea is the gate for the sheep, and the shepherd himself, he said. And E is the resurrection and the life, and the way and truth and the life. These are famous words. And then G is the true vine. So there's seven of them, as Jesus said, I am. Bread of life. Let's turn to Mark chapter 8. When Jesus mentioned, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. So his bread is believing him to continue to read, continue to meditate, so you can have eternal life. We can understand that way. And first one, the bread of life under number one is that there are two forms of life. One is the flesh body, the mention of Mark chapter 8, verse 36 and 37. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and profit his soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? This is a great challenge for our young generations. When we have a, you don't have any physical problems. You're physically, you are capable. You know, you are strong. And then it seems like a life. It seems like quite lasts long. In this way, kind of life is last long. Because mentality, same things. Once life is everything is capable and comfortable, and you go to a gym and exercise every day. Every day is too much, at least once, three times a week. If you go to the gym to exercise, you can look at your body, you have a confidence, and you go through the medical exam, you have no problems. Naturally, your attention is toward to the physical way, to find out the way you can comfortable yourself, to enjoy yourself. Just like when the foolish rich man, when Jesus mentioned about the parables, this rich man, his business continued doing well. His older servants work very hard, so he had to tear his barn, which is to make it bigger, and to bring all the produced things into his barn. Now he can say, you can relax, you're sold. Now you can relax. And God says, if I take your soul out of you tonight, all you belong to, it goes to whom? It's not become yours then. Sometimes we misunderstand. Life, it seems like quite long. When we are young, we can say that. But once we are in a difficult situation, physically we are kind of, you know, we encounter like an illness, something that we cannot solve our problem in our physical bodies. And then we can tell, life is short. When you have a scene out there, you can see the like accidents, some kind of car accident. You can see the people die, the young people and old people, the way they die. We have noticed that life is short. We can happen anytime, anything, any moment. That's our life. But many times we forget about that. We set a kind of long plan, you know. And this time what we do, this time what we do, this time what we do. But sometimes we forget about God. Only we think about selfish way, we're seeking for our own satisfactions. We can set the plans sometimes. If you have this kind of plan, change your mind. Any plan you set, please set the plan with God. That's important. From the beginnings. God, when you pray to God, say, Father, I want to do this. In my life, I want to set this kind of planning. Is that according to your way? If this is not, please let my mind can change. Let my decisions, my way, please change to your ways. When you study your college also, why you study your college is for your own satisfactions. Once you finish your college, if you cannot get a job or you have anything happen that you cannot have any benefit in these 4 years of your, you know, studies, then what's the benefit for you? So anything is, it depends on, it's God's hands. Life is a short. It's just one flesh. Our flesh body is a short, fragile, and cannot be extended. I think some of you have already experienced, you know, physical kind of damage or accidents, already have experienced. You have noticed that life, it's not such a strong like a life. Anything can happen anytime. So. But most important thing is that's why we have to seeking our God for everlasting life. Once you have a life insurance, you're secure. You're secure. We, of course, because once you have a family, it's better you have a life insurance for your family. But we, all of you already have a life insurance. This is more than $1 billion life insurance. Once you die, you can tell how precious it is. Because also this life insurance is not benefit to somebody else's. This benefit directly goes to you. That's why this insurance is best. All the insurance give to somebody else, right? But this insurance directly to us. Yeah. So it's the best insurance. And here the B is eternal life is priceless. 2 Corinthians, let's look at it. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparisons. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I wish this verse is, helps us, gives us comfort and encouragement. Eternal life is priceless because it never changes. And it can go this way forever for glorious forms. Hope through our life, no matter what kind of temptation come to us, these Bible verses help us to sustain our true salvation, always hold it within us. Eternal life is priceless. We cannot change with anything else. Number two is that Jesus gives us eternal life. Let's look at the John chapter 5, verse 39. Yeah. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is that bear witness of me. I think at this time Jesus Christ, all the Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, priests, they're seeking for the eternal life. That's what Jesus, I'm sure, has mentioned here. They're searching the scriptures because they want to have eternal life. But it is this that bear witness of me. All the words, what you have read so far, is it mentioned about me, myself here, Jesus Christ himself. But because they cannot receive the true salvation, because there's no any love within there. 42 say, I know you that you do not have the love of God in yourself. If we do not have a true love within our heart, we do not have a true motivation come from the love of Christ, and that we read the Word of God, this Bible is boring, really. Have you ever experienced when you read a Bible, Bible is become a lullaby. Once other things you read are very excited, you know, the auto magazines or the all kinds of you know, the other magazines, so excited when you read. Even when you sit down the toilet, still you excited, so still you extra few minutes to still read it. But once you Bible, then better get out of there. You know, the Bible is sometimes very, it's a boring thing. But why it happened? Because when we read the Word of God, they need a strong desire from us with a heart of thirstiness. And then when we open the Bible itself turned to be the sweetness to come into our soul and our spirit. Yeah, that's Bible is that's why the Bible is very mysterious. Without the true heart, you read the Bible. Bible never gives us any benefit. Really. But with the heart, truthful heart, then it becomes a great benefit to us. John, here the John chapter 6, verse 53 and 54, he mentioned about the Holy Communion. We participate in Holy Communion, his body and his blood. Jesus promised us of eternal life. So, as long as there's a chance you can participate in Holy Communion, go there to participate. Remember his death and also remember of his second coming and give you the eternal life. A constant reminding us serves us, helps us, so we can understand Jesus is the true bread of life, give us eternity. Of course, if we don't believe in God, still we have eternal life. But different eternal life. Quality is totally different. That's the only difference. So we believe in God, or we don't believe in God, still eternal life. But here the Bible, book of John mentioned about it, eternal life, it's not a, you know, kind of a, the condemnation of the eternity in hell. So this is the eternal life in the kingdom of God as a son of God. So it's a totally different quality of eternal life. So the choice is very important. One time I have a Tuesday when on the way journey, so there's a motel. Price is about $2 difference. But this one is cheaper. So one time we stopped there, stopped by that motel, we slept there. I realized that $2 is not worthwhile. So choice is important. You pay $2 more, you better quality one, you can have sound sleep actually. I really regret, already paid it, I get there, I can tell. Ah, that was two times I have that experience. One time in Las Vegas, and because there's a service that they follow following theirs. So it's a, Las Vegas, they have on gathering there. But I searching around in the internet, finding out the cheapest one, that was a mistake. I should not find the cheapest one, at least this name one, at least a certain standards. But it in the front says hotel. But once you get in there, oh, it's quite scary. I never had this kind of hotel in my life the first time. And, wow, it's actually one side of the glass is broken, and tent is cannot cover whole things up. So I took some of them, put it there, had to cover up. And the one there is the electric circuit doesn't work. Amazing. So I said, wow, they say it's a hotel, so. But choice is important. You can pay several more dollars to make. So that's why the Jesus mentioned the find narrow gate, narrow ways, which means you pay several more dollars, but this is worthwhile. This is worthwhile. Yeah. Come here. Oh. That's why here the number three says abundant life. It provides everything. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief come only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they might have a life and I might have it abundantly. Well, the intention of Jesus to come to this world is not just give a little bit, but he wants to give everything. Let us remember, God has everything he wants to give us, not just like a life, but blissful life. He wants to give it to us. Be the light of the world. John chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 12. Again, therefore, Jesus speak to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. He mentioned that Jesus, I am the life, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. I hope that we can follow Jesus Christ, stay in the light. Means stay in the pure life, stay in the place where there's no sins. Sin is everywhere. You know that, I'm sure because all of you know the definition of sins. I'm sure because all of you know that have experienced that there's a temptations. But once we stick to God and stick to Jesus Christ, and our life always shine the light, cover ourselves, secure our life. Life! You know, the light is the hope. The light is the love. Light is the truth. Light is the satisfaction. Jesus himself is the light. Ask us, invite us, come to him, to follow him, so that we do not walk in the darkness. Stay in the darkness or taste on the darkness is a matter of second, actually. Once your heart just turn around, you can tell. Temptation turns to becomes your life. It is a 21st century's life. So we have to be aware that we have to secure by the light of Jesus Christ and let the life with the God. Romans chapter 5 verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. We know that because we cannot now at this moment, it's hard to blame to our ancestor Adam and Eve. But anyway, sin came into the world because of one man, and the death through sins. That's why everybody have to die. This is a consequence of sins. This is a consequence of darkness, we can say. We should not to have another experience of the death. We should resurrect from the death, and we should follow in the lights of God. You and I already resurrect from the darkness through the baptisms. We no longer we belong to darkness, actually. But if you know, and if we know that, we better not to go back to there. Just like Israelites, just cross over the Red Sea, still their hearts still in their old life, so they'll perish there. Number two, guide the directions of our life. But ten commandments. There's many things that we can look up the Bible, can find out as the directions. But I can say it's the Ten Commandments. If you always in your minds, Ten Commandments, it's in your heart, in your mind, then you have no problems. This is to guide your directions. Love your God, love your neighbor. These Ten Commandments to hold your life, to guide your life, you can be successful. You can be successful. So, of course, all the Bible, we have to continue to really expand our understanding of Ten Commandments. Everything is actually related with the Ten Commandments, but this is guide us our directions of by the Word of God. See the gate for the ship. John chapter 10 verse 7. Jesus therefore said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the ship. Verse 8. All who come before me and the thief and the robbers, but the ship did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enter through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pastures. That means if we are the ship, we have to enter his doors. Yeah, okay. The one I gave you, the Bible verses, we can discuss tomorrow, because I have noticed at the lunchtime you don't have enough time, so I just go on to this one. Tomorrow I like to go on that ones and also continue to the material also. Let's pray in silence.